This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the Sciences of the Hadith class. Today, inshallah, we will discuss al-jarh and al-ta'dil, impugnment and validation. And this is in the book, page 80. We mentioned that in order for the hadith to become authentic, it has to have trustworthy narrators. How do we consider someone trustworthy? Or how do we consider someone weak in the hadith terminology? That's what we will talk about, inshallah, today. In order to consider someone reliable or not, we have to have two things: trustworthiness, which includes three things: Islam, puberty, and avoiding sins. How someone becomes trustworthy? First, he has to be a Muslim. That means, do we have any single narrator in any hadith that is not Muslim? Do we have or we don't have? Not Muslim. No, we don't have. Why? One of the conditions is that he has to be a Muslim. The narrator has to be a Muslim. Puberty, reaching the age of puberty. By the way, I don't believe that we discussed the definition of puberty, neither in fiqh nor in hadith. We have been using this term many times. What's the definition of puberty? When someone is considered has reached the age of puberty. Could someone tell me the definition? Many people, they don't know that definition. Now, there are signs. For sure, there are signs for reaching the age of puberty. The voice, change of the voice, growing the beard, for women having their menses. All these are signs, but what's the definition of puberty? Do we have answer?
The age of understanding.
The age of understanding. What's the age of understanding? How do we consider this one reached the age of understanding? That one did not reach the age of understanding. Yes? Understanding between right and wrong. Again, this is vague. This is not clear. Okay, because we don't have time to waste. Once you are able to produce the like of you, then you reach the age of puberty. That's what we mean by reaching the age of puberty. This could be when you are 9 years old, or when you are 10 years old, or when you are 15 years old. Nowadays, it's very rare to have 9 or 10. It could happen. At their time, at the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was normal that someone became adult while he is 9 or 10 years old. The time that you are able to reproduce, you are able to bring the like of you to life, then you have reached the age of puberty. Okay. So we have Islam, we have puberty, and we have avoiding sins. If you fulfill these things, these three things, then you are trustworthy. In memorization, we have five things that you should avoid. So we have two things in order for you to become reliable and trustworthy. Three things concerning trustworthiness, five things concerning memorization. What are these five things? Remember what we mentioned about the reasons for rejecting the narrator due to his memorization: mismemorization, excessive mistakes, lots of illusion. Okay, these are the five things. They are already discussed. Is this clear? Okay, how to know the trustworthiness of a narrator? How do we know? You are reading the hadith from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, from Az-Zuhri, from Abdullah ibn Qais, from so and so. How do you know this is trustworthy and that is not trustworthy? How do you know this? We have two ways, two methods. There are two methods to know the trustworthiness of a narrator. First, to become well known to everybody that he is trustworthy, or what we call in Arabic, al-istifada. Istifada, isha'a, means everybody knows that he is trustworthy. Like whom? Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Does anyone could come and say, oh, let me check on Malik ibn Anas. Is he trustworthy? Maybe he is not. What do you tell that man? You tell him Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is beyond checking. Why? Because it's known to everybody. Not because Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is divine. He may make mistakes. He's a human being. But it is well known to everybody that Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is above question. You don't question about Imam Malik. It's known. Who are you to come and comment on Imam Malik, rahimahullah, or Imam Shafi, or Imam Ahmad, or Imam Hanifa, or those great scholars of hadith? Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Az-Zuhri, Imam al-Bukhari. Imagine someone came and said, I'm not sure if Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari is trustworthy or not. What do you tell this man? Those scholars, they are known. Everybody knew that they are trustworthy. This is one way. The other way, what if we don't know? Not everybody is famous. Not everyone is famous. The other way, to have two people who has knowledge, and they witness that this man is trustworthy. Now I heard someone talking about one of you, and he said he is trustworthy. Then another man came and he said the same thing. He is trustworthy. What does that giving me? It's giving me confidence that you are trustworthy. Okay? So to have two people saying that he is trustworthy. What about, on the other hand, when we say about someone in the hadith, he is a liar. Is this permissible?
Yes.
It's permissible? Or to say someone, he's weak, he makes mistakes. Isn't this backbiting? When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, do you know what is backbiting? To say something about people that they don't like. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what if they are really so? If it's true? He said, if it's true, then it is backbiting. If it's not true, then it is lying, slandering. It is namima. So, no one, do you like someone to tell you are a liar? Even if I lie, I don't want people to say you are a liar. So how is it permissible? Is it ghiba?
No.
What is no? It's not ghiba. Is it permissible or not? It is ghiba. So you cannot say about a narrator he's a liar. What do you mean keep it to yourself? People want to know, is this hadith authentic or not? So you cannot tell he is a liar. Well, actually, how then do we know that this hadith is authentic or not? All scholars agreed in the terms of hadith, it is permissible to say this one is liar. It's the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to protect the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All scholars agreed it is permissible. What if someone came to you asking you about a person whom you know very well? That person proposed to your friend's sister, and you know that person, and you know that he made many mistakes. and he will not be a good candidate. What do you tell your friend? I cannot say anything. It is ghiba. You tell him the truth. Isn't this ghiba? What if a woman came to the imam or the judge and she told him, my husband is beating me up? Do you think that the husband would like people to know that he is beating his wife up? So isn't this ghibah? We have exceptions. We have exceptions. They are known for scholars. Six things that are exceptions. القدح ليس بغيبة في ستة متظلم ومعرف ومحذر ولمظهر فسقا ومستفت ومن طلب الإعانة في إزالة منكر. These are the six things. We have six things. It's not considered backbiting. In a case of oppression, someone took your money. They took what you have. You were oppressed. Do you say, oh, I cannot say or I cannot tell people this is what happened to me? It is backbiting? Of course not. Everybody said you can. Identification, for purposes of identification. Like what? Do you know that man who came yesterday? Which man? The man with the dark skin. Now, maybe he doesn't like people to tell about him that he's dark skin. But you did not want to put him down. You just meant to clarify his name, to clarify his identity. When you tell your friend, the blind man. Now, if someone is blind, he doesn't like people to tell him, you are blind. But you did not mean to degrade him. You just wanted to identify him. So for the purposes of identification, you are identifying that person, it is permissible. That's why we have some narrators in the hadith, they are called al-a'raj, al-a'mash. What's the meaning of al-a'raj? The one who has limb. And al-a'mash, the one who has difficulty in his eyesight. So it is permissible. Number three, the one who commits sin openly. Al-Fasiq. Number four, asking for fatwa. Again, if someone came and asked you to give him a fatwa. If a son came to you and he told you, my father gave my brother, but he did not give me. You don't say, this is ghibah, you are backbiting your father. He wants to know the ruling. Is this permissible or not? Number four, number five, warning Muslims from the evil action. Someone did something wrong and you want to warn the Muslims against that evil action. Someone lied in the hadith of the Messenger ﷺ. You don't say, oh, I cannot backbite this man. And consequently, people will accept the hadith because you did not tell them. You have to tell them. And number six, forbidding the evil. If you are a man of authority and people came to you telling you that we saw people fornicating in that place and you have to forbid the evil, or we saw that man and he's drunk, he has to be punished Islamically. We don't say this is backbiting. You want to forbid the evil. So these are the six things that it is permissible in this case to, or it's not backbiting in these cases. We have six things. Now we will start with validation. We have impugnment and we have validation. What is validation? We have several levels. As we said, if two scholars or two people of knowledge, they came and they said, this man is trustworthy, then he is trustworthy. What is the highest level of trustworthiness? Because remember, we said in the Hadith al-Hasan, the Hadith which is narrated by trustworthies but not strong in their memory. So it is authentic, but it's less than the Sahih. So what's the highest of the Sahih? What's the top?
In all six books?
Hmm?
In all six books?
Yes. In all six books, what's the highest? Not the hadith, the narrator. We're talking about the narrator. We're not talking about the hadith itself. The narrator. In order to give credit to someone, in the credit score, if you have 800 or 790, your credit is excellent. How do we do the same thing with the words and the hadith terminology? Babit, that's the highest? When we say accepted without question or beyond question, that's the highest. مثله لا يسأل عنه. Or when you tell the man who asks you, the likes of this man, you should not ask about them. Or when you say, he is the most, هو أوثق الناس. It's really difficult to translate it in English. I'm trying my best. And you go back to the book and see the terms it's used. It will make it easier for you, inshallah. Page 80. هو أوثق الناس. He is the most reliable person. That means, that's it. He is the strongest person. Or when you say, هو إمام or Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. This is the highest. Number two, when you say huwa thiqatun thiqa, when you repeat thiqa twice, what's the meaning of thiqa? Thiqa includes two things: trustworthiness and memorization. He's excellent in memorization and he is trustworthy. When you say huwa thiqatun thiqa, he is thiqa. One thiqa is enough, right? But you repeated it twice. That means he is extra. He is beyond that. So this is the second level. Now what about those two levels? If the narrators are from this level, the hadith is what?
Sorry.
Automatically. It's sahih, without question. If all of them, of course. Number three, thiqa. He is trustworthy and retentive. He is thiqa. Huwa thiqa. What do we mean by thiqa? Again, he is acceptable. So his hadith is what? Sahih. It's sahih, authentic. It's accepted. Number four, saduq. What do we mean by saduq? Truthful. Saduq, truthful, when you look at it, it means truthful. That means he's good. But actually, he's in lower level than the thiqah. The people from this level, their hadith is called what?
Hasan,
exactly. And actually to some scholars, like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he uses this word because he was very polite. He uses this word for the ones that are not thiqah, that are weak. But he was polite. And he was flexible with them. But this hadith, now this is the fourth level. Remember, we have first level, second level, third level, and this is the fourth level. It's still accepted, but it is not authentic. It is hasan. It is accepted, but it's not as good as the sahih. Number five, saduq with some delusion. Number five, he is lower than number four. So he is making mistakes. Now what about this hadith of the narrators from number five? Is it sahih? Nope, it is not sahih. Is it hasan? It's lower than hasan. It is weak. It needs just some endorsement or some scholars still accepted it. Scholars who are flexible in the hadith, they accepted it. So these are the five levels of validation. Some scholars, they added more. Some scholars, they consider them four levels. But the regular one, most of the scholars give which word, which level? Most of the people are of which level?
Three,
exactly. Thiqa. That's the default, you could say. That's the default. To be in number one, you have only a handful of people. That's it. Or you could list them like 10 people, 15 people maximum. Those who are very well known in the hadith that, like Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Then the second level, it's also still difficult to reach that level. But the third level, most of the people there. And number four and number five, also lots of people are like that. But when we talk about validation, thiqa is enough. That's it, thiqa. Number six, we have maqbool. Maqbool, what do we mean by maqbool? Just like as I wrote it, okay. When you are asked, is this good? And you say, okay. What do you mean by okay? Is it really okay or it's not? It is not. If it's okay, you will say, it is good. So it's the same thing, the same exact thing. When they say, okay, that means it is da'if. He has weakness. He has weakness. So again, number one, two, three, they are accepted automatically. And it is sahih. Number four, it is hasan. Number five, it could be hasan and it could be da'if. Number six, it is da'if, but it is the highest of the da'if. It needs a little bit. You need to push it, pull it a little bit higher, and it will become hasan. Okay? Again, there are some scholars, they added more. Now, improvement. What are the words for jarh? If you wanted to discredit a narrator, what's the worst? Now we're starting from the worst, not from the highest. From the worst. What's the worst word, you would say?
Liar.
Liar, exactly. Is there any worse than liar? Some scholars said the most lying person, but it's the same, liar. He's a liar. When you say he's a liar, that's it. The hadith is what? Is rejected. It's not a hadith. Number two, what do we have, number two? Hello? No. Accused of lying. Accused of lying. Muttahamun bil kadhib. Number three, Matrukul hadith. His hadith is abandoned. Or he is very, very weak. He is very weak. Or his hadith is abandoned. Now, number one and two, what about them? The hadith is rejected automatically. Number three, the same thing. The hadith is rejected and it cannot be elevated. But it's not like number one and two, but it's still weak. Forget about it. Number four, the hadith is what? Weak. He is weak. Do you accept it or you reject it? You reject it, but could it be endorsed? Yes, there is a possibility. You could endorse it if you have another narration. Number five, he is not thiqa. Now, number five and four, they are still close, but number five is very close. When you say he is not thiqa, that means he has some kind of trustworthiness, but not. So it means it needs endorsement. Some scholars consider the last one, he's okay, the same thing like here, the last one here also. He's okay. Or he's not thiqa. So these are the levels of improvement and validation. So according to the scholars of hadith, now you go to each name. This scholar, this narrator, he is thiqa. The second name, he is thiqa. The third name, he is weak. Then thiqa, then thiqa. What's the level of the hadith?
Weak.
What if thiqa, 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 saduq?
Hasan.
Hasan, at least Hasan. Some scholars consider it sahih, but at least it's Hasan. Okay, that's the advantage of knowing the validation and impugnment. What if, now here is the problem. What if someone has two descriptions, two different words? Like what? Imam al-Bukhari said about him, he is thiqa. Imam Ahmad said about the same man, he is da'if. What do you do? Could this happen?
Yes,
it happened. It even happens in everything. Some people like this device, others they don't like it. So what do we do in the hadith? One bureau gives you 720, the score is 720, other bureau gives you 690 or 650. What do you do? Well, first of all, you need to know who gave him this ruling. Who said about him he is thiqa? We have some scholars, they are very strict. That means if they gave da'if, that means most likely he is, if even if he's da'if, he's not that da'if. If another man gave him thiqa, that means you go with him, he is strict. Okay, so it depends on the scholars. Like Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he was very fair. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he was very fair. While Yahya bin Ma'in, for instance, the friend of Imam Ahmad, he was strict. Imam ibn Hibban, in the matters of improvement, he is very strict as well. For any problem, he says he is da'if. So first, you need to know who said this word. In order to reconcile, you need to reconcile. So first of all, you see, who said he is da'if and who said he is thiqa. We have two cases in this scenario. One case, there is no contradiction. Although the one said he is da'if and another one said he is thiqa, there is still no contradiction. How? They may say he is da'if if he narrated from that person. But he is thiqa if he narrated from other people. So in this case, it's okay. There is no contradiction. We know what did they mean by da'if and what did they mean by thiqa. Just like nowadays, you may go and you ask for a loan and they tell you, we can give you auto loan, but we cannot give you mortgage loan. It depends on your credit. They tell you, he is thiqa if he narrated from this sheikh, because he was with him and he knew everything. But he is not thiqa if he narrated from that person. They reached that advanced level in hadith. Scholars of hadith, they reached that level. How? Again, by extensive research. Like they noticed, once he narrated from this sheikh, he was always with him. He knew everything about him. But the moment he left him, something changed. Or he got old. So he started making mistakes. We compared his narrations to the narrations of other narrators from the same sheikh, and he has mistakes. So they gave that ruling. They were very, very accurate. So in this case, there is no contradiction. Whether they say he is thiqa from that sheikh and he is not thiqa from other sheikh, or they say he is thiqa if he narrated from that area, from that specific area, from Al-Hijaziyin, from Egypt. Because in Egypt, he was focused. After that, maybe he lost his books or something wrong happened to him and his memory was not the same. Or he is thiqa until he reached 60 years old. The same thing. In this case, we have no contradiction. Although we have two different words, but there is no contradiction. Okay, these are the scenarios. What if we have contradiction now? They say he is thiqa, and another one, he says he is da'if. They don't make exceptions from this person, from that city, from this sheikh. Here again, we need to see first who is the sheikh who said he is thiqa and who is the sheikh who said he is da'if. In general, we accept the one who said he is da'if. Why? Because the one who said he is thiqa is ruling according to what he saw. Just like if someone proposed to a lady, and you went to ask people, if they wanted to praise him, what would they say? Like, we see him in the masjid. Is this good or bad? Is this good or bad? Good. Why you are not answering? This is good. They will tell you, we see him in the masjid. But you asked someone and he told you, I saw him in a bar. Could that happen? Yes, it could happen. Which one you take? Now the ones who told you, we saw him in the masjid, they are right because they saw him in the masjid. Maybe they did not see him in the bar. But that one, he is telling you, I saw him in the bar. So which one you take? Do you still say, I will marry him, I will accept his proposal because he goes to the masjid? But again, remember, that's in general. But also there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Again, usually the one who says he is da'if, he saw something others did not see. That's why he said he is da'if. But there are exceptions. We cannot accept this if the impugnment, the one who said he is da'if, did not clarify it. The ones who say he is thiqa, they knew he is thiqa. But the one who said he is da'if, why he said he is da'if? Just like the one he told you, no, don't take this man as a husband for your sister. And you tell him why, he tells you that's it. Now, there are people telling you he went to the masjid. You don't know what this man is telling you. So most likely you'll go with other people because you don't know what he's telling you. You need clarification. The same thing here. The impugnment has to be explained. Why it has to be explained? Because you may consider something da'if while it is not. Oh, I saw him doing this thing. Well, maybe he had an excuse. Or maybe you saw it differently than what others saw. Or maybe you consider it da'if, but the others don't consider it. And the other exception, if you have bigotry against him, you don't like him. Do we have these cases in hadith? Yes, we have. If you are contemporary to one famous scholar, and you notice people are going to him, and they are not coming to you, wouldn't you try to bring people to you? You will do that. How? You will try to discredit that man. Do we accept this from you? We don't accept it. That's why they say in Arabic, كَلَامُ الْأَقْرَانِ يُطْوَى وَلَا يُرْوَى. The sayings of the contemporary people for each other, it should be folded. It should not be disclosed. Because they are rivals. They are competing with each other. He did this, I will do that, and I will try to follow your mistakes to point them to people. So we don't accept impugnment if it was not explained. It has to be explained because you may consider something wrong while it's in reality not wrong. Now, that's the end of the issue of validation and impugnment. Now we are moving to takhrij al-hadith. Takhrij al-hadith. What do we mean by takhrij al-hadith? Takhrij means to derive. This is linguistically. Linguistically, takhrij means to derive. But in hadith terminology, to refer the hadith to its place in the authentic resources with clarifying its degree, whether it's authentic or not, when it's needed. That's the definition of takhrij al-hadith. Again, what do we mean by takhrij al-hadith? To relate the hadith to the one who narrated it from the authentic sources. Like what? I told you, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَذْوَ الْقُذَّةِ بِالْقُذَّةِ. You will follow the people before you, step by step. You ask me, who narrated this hadith? What do I tell you? Al-Bukhari. When I tell you it's narrated in Al-Bukhari, what do we call this process? Takhrij. That's the meaning of takhrij. When I tell you where to find this hadith. Or, when you ask about a hadith, is this hadith authentic? Is it a hadith anyway or not? And I tell you, yes, it is a hadith. It is narrated in Musnad of Imam Ahmad and it is authentic. What do we call this? Takhrij. That's the meaning of takhrij. I am relating the hadith to its source, to the book where it was narrated, with the ruling, whether it's sahih or not, if it's needed. Now, sometimes takhrij considered only when I tell you it's in Sunan Abi Dawood. This is takhrij. I don't have to tell you it is sahih or not. This is extra thing, but it's still considered also takhrij. So this is the takhrij, to refer the hadith to its place in the authentic resources. What do we mean by authentic resources? Do not tell me this hadith is sahih and it is narrated in the book of psychology. What has the psychology to do with the hadith? The authentic resources has to be the books of sunnah, the books of scholars who compiled the hadith, like Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Dawood, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Darqutni, Sunan al-Darimi, Mu'jam al-Kabir, al-Tabarani. These are the authentic resources. Okay? Do you understand what do we mean by takhrij? Okay. But before the takhrij, before you do the takhrij, you want to find it, to find the hadith, where to find it, in which book. You want to look it up. Before you do that, you need to look at one thing. Is this hadith narrated by a companion? Or the companion is not mentioned? Is this hadith mentioned fully or not? When I'll tell you, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, did I mention the companion? No. When I tell you, Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, did I mention the companion? Yes, I mentioned the companion. What's the difference? When you have the companion, you could look the hadith through the companion. When you don't have the companion, it may be more difficult. Yes. Is there? No, it's not mursal. Now the hadith is connected, but you want to see where it is. You don't know even if it's mursal or not. You have portion of the hadith. Is there a distinctive word in the hadith? Like shufa'a. Or there are many words that are very few used. But like wudu, is the word wudu distinctive or it's common? The word wudu, it's used many times, it's common. But when I mention a word that it's strange, you did not hear it before. Akfa'a. What's the meaning of akfa'a? No. Akmala, completed. Akfa'a, to spill or to drop. So this word is not used that much. Does it talk about specific topic or not? So in order for you to find the hadith in the books, now again, that's very important. Just like when I ask you about an ayah, where is this ayah? And you tell me what? It is in the Quran. I don't want to look through the entire Quran, 604 pages. I want to see in what page exactly what's the ayah. The same thing with hadith. You tell me the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. Where did he say it? How can I verify it? Well, in order for you to verify if it's a hadith or not, in order for you to find it in the books of hadith, before you do that, look at these things. Is the name of the companion mentioned? Does it talk about a specific topic? So you could go to these topics and find the hadith there. Does it have a distinctive word, odd word or not? That's what you do before you start the takhrij. Now we have methods of takhrij. We have methods of takhrij. We have five methods. Five methods in which you can know the hadith. And there is one added to it. Nowadays, we have a sixth method. It was just recently known. Takhrij through Google. You go to Google and you type the hadith and you get it. Now this is takhrij because you are looking the hadith. What are these methods? We will talk about them inshallah in the next class. And with this we will conclude our session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.